I'm reading Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And it says this: for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Verse 10. And you, everybody said, that's me. And you have been given fullness in Christ. Everybody say, wow. Now, if you are born again this morning, if you are saved, I'm not asking you if you are a Christian. I'm asking you this morning, if you are born again this morning, would you mind lifting your hands if you are born again? I'm not asking if you're a Christian. It's completely two different things. Born again. Thank you. I see many hands. I love it. What do I mean when I ask you if you are born again this morning? I certainly do not mean if you are a Christian. Anybody can be a Christian. In fact, it's very simple to be a Christian. You just need to be born in a Christian home. Boom, you're a Christian. The same way it's very easy to be a Muslim. You just need to be born in a... The same way it is to be a Hindu. You just need to be born in a Hindu's home. So if you're born in the home of a clown, okay, I'll leave it there. I'll leave it there. I don't know, what did I drink this morning? All right, great. Listen, people can be Christians and serve the devil. Why are you so quiet? That's where you're supposed to, hallelujah! People can be Christians and cuss you out. People can be Christians and do voodoo. There are so many people that call themselves Christians and are worshiping false gods, living the complete opposite of what it means to be a believer. So when I talk about the word being a Christian, I'm not speaking in the same context as being a child of God. To me, being a Christian is nothing. In my head, when somebody say they're a Christian, I'm like, okay, next. It's like working at Walmart, next. I don't care what you buy. Jesus did not come to make anybody a Christian. He never made anyone a Christian. Your mother made you a Christian. Your parents made you a Christian, but not Jesus. I don't teach Christianity. I've never taught Christianity. Jesus came to make you sons and daughters. Everybody say amen. Amen. And how do you become a child of God? Because you're not born a child of God. Oh, boy. You're born a child of your mother. You are not born a child of God. Nobody is born a child of God. God made everybody. But you're not born a child of God. Were you born a child of God? Your mother must be God. Got the point? In order for you to call yourself a child of God, you have to be born of God. Hello, somebody. I said, hello, somebody. John 3:3. Let's look at it for a minute. John 3:3. I think I sent it to you. I'm not sure if I did, but we can pop it up there. And Jesus replied, verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. You cannot enter the kingdom. You can enter the world by being born through your parents. But in order for you to be in the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. You can't, you're just a Christian, but you're not a child of God. And there are many Christians that are not children of God. Anybody's got a child of God t-shirt? Paula, child of God, born again. She earned the right to wear that. You're not a child of God if you're not born again. So I come across Christians all the time. And man, the conversation is very enlightening, and they have a lot to talk about. And as you hear them, in their discourse with you, as they communicate and as they converse with you, eventually I ask the question, are you born again? No. And that's when the conversation ends for me. Because if you're not born again, you're not on my page. You can't see what I see, and you can't understand what I understand. You're just thinking intellectually. You don't have the spirit to show you things. Your whole talk is just intellectual garbage. That's what it is. If I tell you I believe in prosperity, you're going to kill me because you don't understand that God is not poor. Everybody say, my God's not poor. So you see Christians who are attacking prosperity. Why do they do that? Because they're intellectually thinking. But if you actually know God, you will know there's no sickness in God. There is no poverty in God. There is no weakness in God. There is no double guessing in God. There's no turning in God. There's no anger in God. You'll know that. But you're so intellectual that it sometimes becomes a conflict when you talk to somebody who's born again. My point is this. People are now identifying themselves as all kind of stuff. Some people are identifying themselves as cats. I like that. Cats. They're teaching their kids to go around. Meow, meow. I better just feed that child some milk. I was watching TV and this one gal had her kid running around the house behaving like, stop that stupidness. But your kid is a cat. Next thing your kid's gonna come home and tell her she's gay. You don't know what you're encouraging. And then there are people, I saw one guy, he said he was an alien and he's talking like this. I'm like, who are you? Identify himself as an alien. And the guy who's interviewing him said, what are you saying? So he then speaks in English. He says, the alien is speaking. And in my head, I'm like, loose him, loose him. I'm praying over the TV, loose this demon, you filthy demon. Let me show you a slide, pop it up. Look at this slide. That's what some of us do. We slap a sticker on our lives and we say we're a Christian, but really all we are is a Kia. Or we're a believer, all we are is a Christian. You know, this is what this is all about, guys. Slapping a sticker on a Kia does not make it a Tesla. Calling yourself a Christian does not make you a child of God. Did you get the point? Calling yourself a Christian does not what? Make you a child of God. The only way you can become a child of God, you must be born again. Hallelujah, everybody. I said hallelujah. Amen. If you are not a born again believer, you are going to hell. All Christians go to hell. Please quote me. All, everybody say, all Christians go to hell. Now finish the sentence. No child of God can go to hell. We're done. ABCs. This is it. I'm done my sermon. I'm going home now. I'm going to make an altar call, and by now some of you should want to go to heaven. But let's go a little deeper for your sake and my sake. If you get this teaching wrong, every teaching of the Bible will be wrong. This is the most important teaching of the Bible. To be born again. There's no greater teaching, no greater doctrine, no greater theology, no greater lesson in the entire Bible. This is the cherry on top. This is it. You must know that you are born again. You must understand what it is to go to heaven. If you don't know how to get to heaven, you ain't going. If you don't know how to get to Florida, you're going to end up in Windsor. I'm just going to leave that there. You need to know how to get to heaven. And getting to heaven, there's only one way to do that. That is, you must be born again. Do not teach your children they are Christians. Teach your children what it means to be born again. If you are not born again, then have somebody explain it to you. I hope I can do justice this morning. Everything you believe will fall apart because the fundamentals are not in place. If you don't understand who you are spiritually, how you got there, when you try to interpret scripture, when you try to understand spiritual things, it's not going to make sense to you. Because spiritual things need a spiritual foundation. For example, if I try to explain to you about how Mary had a child and she was a virgin, you're going to say I'm absolutely nuts. Because no virgin can have a child. And if you come here and tell me, but you're a virgin, you're having a child, I'm going to cast that spirit out of you. I'm just saying right now. So spiritual things require spiritual understanding or spiritual transformation for you to grasp it. If you are not spiritual, you cannot understand spiritual things. It's a very simple equation. You can't do it. So there is a subject that we've been looking at called the fear of God. And there is a lot of misunderstanding about the fear of God because a lot of people bring the fear of God into a natural perspective. And by bringing it into a natural perspective, you think you have to be afraid of God. And if you take the fear of God and you put it in a spiritual cup, it represents something completely different. In the natural mind will calculate it and sum it up to natural things. But in the spiritual mind, God reveals to you spiritual truth that will give you understanding that is beyond your natural mind. Everybody say amen. Amen. Watch this. When you and I became born again, we have been given, according to Colossians 2, we have been given the fullness of God. Everybody say the fullness of God. Can you pop my scripture back up there for a second? For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So number one, it tells us that in Christ, there's the fullness of God. This is the big, big problem. You need a spirit. Everybody say, I need a spiritual mind for this. The natural man is not going to understand what I'm about to tell you. The Bible is basically telling us here that in Christ, he was fully God. He was what? All the Muslims are manifesting right now. Jesus Christ is not God to the carnal mind. Jesus Christ, according to this Bible, is God. I don't know if you've ever had a conversation with a Muslim or a Hindu or an atheist, and the first thing they'll tell you, Jesus is not God, because they are not spiritual people. But if you tell a spiritual born-again believer that Jesus Christ is God, somehow it makes sense, but they can't tell you how. Talk to me. Yep, Jesus Christ is God. How? I don't know. He just is. It's kind of like the blind man. I don't know if you've ever read that scripture. There was a blind man in the Bible. And Jesus, the Bible says he was blind from birth and whatever not. And Jesus came along and healed him. And then he goes into the temple and he was questioned by the high priest. How did you get healed? Who healed you? He says, I don't know. All I knew, I was blind and now I could see. And that was it. That was it. Spiritual people operate by faith. We don't need to have total information of everything. Our spirit bears witness that this thing is true. Because you're spiritual. There is a witness and you can't explain it. None of us can explain how in Christ this man that walked on the earth that was flesh and blood, how in Christ he is fully God. None of us can explain that. Not even theologians can explain that. You know, oh my goodness. I love it. There is a theological term for this. It's called the hypostatic principle or the hypostatic union. It's a theological term. It means, the hypostatic union is this. It simply means that Jesus Christ is fully man and he is fully God in one body. How is that possible? By faith. I can't explain that to you. I'm sorry, that's where you stumped me. But you know what? If I talk to another believer, do you believe that Jesus Christ was fully man and fully God? How? I don't know. We can't explain it. We just know. You know when you know that you know? I said you know when you know that you know. Well, I know. And how do I know? I don't know. But I know in my spirit what I know. Because I'm a believer. Everybody say I'm a believer. That's it. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that Jesus had a dual nature. Jesus had two separate natures. He was Coke and Pepsi in one. What? That's sacrilegious. No, listen, Pepsi fans hate Coke and hate Coke fans hate Pepsi. Amen, Sanj. Jesus was both. He was both God and man in one body. The Bible says, when Mary gave birth to him, the angels came, and the angel says, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. At that point, everybody should have been freaking out. So the text, Colossians, is telling you, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity, God was in Christ. Everybody say, God was in Christ. He was fully man and fully God. That's awesome. But here's what happens now. When you became born again, when you became born again, something very similar happened to you. In your spirit, in the core of who you are, your spirit, God comes inside and fully lives. Look at verse 10. Watch this. He doesn't do that for Christians. He only does that for born again people. No Christian has God in him. Zero. If you are a Christian here today, you do not have God. You know of God. You're trying to live for God. You're hoping you're going to heaven, but you're going to burn in hell. And I'm not apologizing. And in Christ, you, everybody said, that's me. Everybody said, that's me. If you are born again, he's speaking to you. In Christ, you have been brought to the fullness. What? So God is in Christ in his fullness. But now that you have come into Christ, the Bible says that you now have the fullness of God in you. What? 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 You have the fullness of God inside of you. Oh, my word. Now, you may not believe that because some of you are still thinking dirty thoughts. And you know God don't think no dirty thoughts. And some of you still have a filthy mouth. And you know God don't talk. And some of you still have an unforgiving heart. And you know God is all forgiving and love and kindness. And so you're wondering, how is it that I can have God inside of me and I'm still struggling with sin? I'm still struggling with my old life. Because I want to let you know, your brain hasn't caught up yet with your new being. You haven't yet caught up with what happened to you. Oh boy. I remember a story of a man who won the lottery. And he was still working. He won millions of dollars. And he went to work 9 to 5. Every day, but he had millions of dollars. You know why? His brain didn't catch up with his wallet yet. Because how many of you would still go to work if you had millions of dollars? I'll leave it there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our brain, our understanding has to catch up with our new nature. And because you haven't been catching up fast enough, you are perishing. The kingdom of God is lacking in your life. Things that should be coming out of you is not coming out of you. And things you should be doing is not, you're not doing. And the things you should be saying, you're not saying. Because you are not understanding what has happened to you. If you only understand this morning what has happened to you, your life will change. I'm not preaching to you a message. I'm preaching to you God's word. You get it and believe it. Watch this. You were changed in your spirit. In fact, not only were you changed, according to the scripture, all the riches of heaven, all the grace of God, all the protection of Christ lives right now inside of every born again believer. There is nothing old in you. The old you actually left. The old you is dead. The old you has been replaced. You do not have the fallen nature of Adam. You do not. You cannot even sin. He that is born of God cannot sin. That's why Jesus didn't sin, because he was fully God. And he operated from that side that was fully God. If he operated from the flesh, he's going to mess up. But he operated from the side that was fully God. When he faced the devil, God faced the devil. When he faced temptation, God faced temptation. When we face problems, we face problems instead of letting God face the problems. And so you mess up because you're not allowing God to stand up inside of you. You're not doing it. And so you're always going to fail. Yet you have God who has fully strengthened you, who Paul writes and says, I can do all things through Christ. And yet you're doing nothing but failing. And you're wondering why you're failing, because you're not allowing yourself to live from your spirit man. You wonder why you're still talking and behaving and having attitudes and unforgiving hearts and all that. And you're always vexed at something somebody says. You don't even know what you're vexed about. Because you're operating solely on the flesh. And you're not understanding what has happened to you. Everybody said, there's nothing fallen in me. Everybody said, there's nothing broken in me. You're perfectly perfect. Watch this, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Check it out. 2 Corinthians 5:17. For in Christ, and that's not it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you in Christ or not? He is a what? But you don't feel new, do you? Because you're not new in your flesh and you're not new in your mind. You are new in your spirit. What's in your spirit? Everybody say 100% God. Inside of your born again spirit is God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a brand new thing that has never existed before has come. The old is gone and the new is here, but you don't believe it. So you're still living like you're old. You're still behaving like your old sinful, wicked ways. You're still thinking you're a gangster, you're a mechanic, you want to fix everybody. You know, darn mechanic. You're a child of God now. And you're not behaving like a child of God. You're not doing that. And the reason you're doing that is because you don't have a revelation of who you are. You still think that you have to rely on your strength. You still think you have to beg God. You still think that sickness is impossible to heal. You still think that you should be in poverty. But you don't know you're fully God. On the inside of you, all of God abides. Yes, I'm going to have a drink. Before you were saved, you You were a cook. Before you were saved, you were coke. When you got saved, you became Pepsi. Everybody say, Coke is gone. Pepsi is here. I just did my first Pepsi commercial. Somebody send this to Pepsi. Coke is gone. Everybody say, my old life is gone. Everybody say, Pepsi is here. I like Pepsi. There's less fizz. You know, you'll get that revelation later. There is no fallen nature in you anymore. There is no fallen nature. You are not fallen. You are not bruised. You are not broken. You are not a sinner anymore. You are now a child of God. Do you understand the difference between being a Christian and a child of God? The difference between being a Christian and a child of God is transformation. Not understanding. God took the old you out and he replaced it with himself. He didn't replace a new you. He put himself inside of you. Fully God inside of you. Colossians 2:10. God fully dwells in me. God fully dwells in me. Everybody say, God fully dwells in me. Good. You only have one nature. The God nature. What you have is memory. The way you used to do things. You know, when Dan fights with me, the way we used to do it is we used to fight back with each other. When somebody robs me, I want to get you, you wicked. When the girl at Cineplex don't put enough butter. That's the old me. You're still living from your memory. You're still living from your flesh when you have this powerful spirit inside of you that's given you a brand new way to live, the God kind of life. Everybody say the God kind of life. But you don't know how to live from your spirit, so you keep reverting back to your spirit. And when you hear spiritual things like repent, or you hear spiritual things you gotta forgive, or you hear spiritual things like I said last week, we're not gonna promote graceless preachers on our pulpit. You get upset. You know why? Because you're living from your flesh. If you were living from your spirit, you would say, amen, pastor. But you can't say amen because your flesh is controlling you. Are you getting my point this morning? Am I driving it home? So there is no reason this morning, what I'm trying to tell you, if you're fully God, how can you fear God? Can God fear God? Let's go there now. Can God fear God of judging God? That's the stupidity of the teaching of the fear of God. To be afraid of God is saying God in me is afraid of God outside. How can God be afraid of God? What nonsense are you trying to tell me? Are you thinking I'm stupid? Because I'm not. I may not know math well, but that doesn't add up. That doesn't add up. Do not send your kids from me to tutor them. My sons laugh at me. There is no reason for you to fear God's punishment because you are new. You're a new creation. How can God punish himself in you? Are you that dense? Who are these preachers telling you need to fear God? Bring them to me and tell them I have a math class they need to take. It can't be done. You have been made a new creation. There's no reason for you to be frightened of punishment. There's no reason for you to be frightened of judgment. There's no reason for you to be frightened that God is going to hold back anything. The fullness of God is inside of you. There's no reason for you to think that your behavior is not going to change. It's going to change. God's working on the inside. If change is going to come on the outside. There's no reason for you to be frightened of sickness. The same God that rose Jesus from the grave is inside of you, and he'll raise you up. Why are you scared? Why are you buying into this garbage about fear God? In the sense of being frightened of him. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. Many believers don't understand this truth. A new creation cannot fear God. In fact, it's an intelligent breakdown. It means your brain is not working properly. Nobody can be in Christ and have Christ in them, the hope of glory, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, have the fullness of God in them, and still be afraid of God. Your fear is unfounded. It's a lie. You bought a lie. You've been taught lies. There'll be people who will come and sit there and say, oh, you need to fear God. You cannot. God cannot fear God. And you cannot fear punishment because you're born again. How can a born again person go to hell? What? What are you trying to tell me? That believers can go to hell? Then why do I believe? What is the purpose of me believing? I might as well stay a dirty old sinner and grow into an old dirty man, because nothing's changing. There has to be a change when you come to Christ, and that change is that you've been made a new creation on the inside. God 100% dwells inside of you, and you need to catch up with it. Amen. Amen, sister. She's laughing at her. Friend, inside of you this morning is the God nature. Your reborn spirit is God. Can I say it again? Your reborn spirit is? Your reborn spirit is? Can you pop my text back up? Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Your reborn spirit is? In Christ, you have been brought to the fullness. You're not halfway. You're not 99%. You are 100% God on the inside. If not, we got to throw the book of Colossians out. And I'm not going to do that. I know some of your spirits are not liking it. And that's all right. You can go home and read your Bible later. I got no problems. The spirit that we had, that we were born in, is dead. All has sinned. And all of us were dead in Christ, in Adam. But in Christ, we were all given life. And the life that we were given is the life of God. We've been reborn. Everybody say, I've been reborn. If you've been reborn, of course. So watch this. Watch this. Ephesians 4:24. Let's go there. So Paul writes, and he says this. Put on the new self. What did he write? Created after what? Created after the what? I didn't write this. The likeness of God, which is in true righteousness and holiness. Why do you believe this nonsense that you need to become holy? You are already holy. The God inside of you has made you holy. It says it. You are 100% holy. And you hear these preachers says, oh, you need to become holy. I don't, you cannot become holy. He made you holy. No one can become holy. Israel has tried for 1800 years to become holy by following the law, and not one of them were able to accomplish it. You became holy when you became born again. You became the righteousness of God when you became born again. You can't get more holy. You can stop sinning. You can stop lying. You can stop cussing, but you can't get more holy. You're as holy as you can be. A lot of believers don't like this teaching because now they can't preach down to you. You're not living a holy life. I know I'm not reflecting what's happened inside of me. I get it. Tell me that, but don't tell me I'm not holy. Nobody can tell me I'm not holy. Nobody can tell me I'm not righteous. The Bible tells me I am. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in righteousness and true holiness. It's there. I didn't write it. I didn't write it. So we're learning a few things this morning. You can't go to heaven unless you're born again. When you're born again, your spirit is removed, the dead spirit inside of you, and you've been given the Spirit of God, and that Spirit of God is righteous and holy. Good, you're following me. Are you following me this morning? Are you getting something out of this? I'm going to teach you how to access the kingdom. I'm going to teach you not to fear God. You need to learn your Bible. That's why you need to come to church. That's why you pay me the big bucks. I'm just going to leave it there. So I can read the Bible for you and come back and read the Bible to you. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Your new nature has been created after the nature of God in perfect righteousness and perfect holiness. And let me tell you what that means. It means that sin is foreign to your new nature. Okay, let's everybody write it down. Sin is foreign to my new nature. My new nature don't know sin. It's sinless because it's holy. That's what the word holiness means, sinlessness. That's what the word righteousness means, right standing with God. Your new nature doesn't know sin. Your new nature does not know what? Who knows sin? Say, my brain knows sin and my body knows sin. And so you have to renew your brain to get it to not like sin. And you got to stop telling your, you got to tell your body, stop doing wickedness. Shut your mouth. Good. I'm glad you got that point. You got to catch up, folks. You're late. You're behind. You're behind schedule. These teachings are old. You're behind schedule. Some of you are still so law-based, it's ridiculous. You're born again and following Moses. Are you mad? Moses ain't your daddy. I'll leave that there. A born-again person is not a person that makes a commitment like in other religions. We don't commit ourselves to Christ. And so now we are born again because I commit myself to Christ. That's garbage. We are born again because we are transformed. My commitment is, therefore, if not, I can leave Christianity. And I can now go to another religion like Islam, and I can commit myself to Islam. So have you ever heard of Muslims saying, oh, that Christian left his Christianity, and they became a Muslim? They're correct. Christians. They're correct. Christians, but no born-again believer will ever walk away from Christ because he's been made a new creation. He's been transformed. They're right. Christians will walk away, but I've never seen a born-again believer walk away from God because it's a spiritual thing. Everybody says it's a spiritual thing. Come on, man. We got this, bro. We got this. It's a spiritual thing. This is a spiritual thing. This is a spiritual thing. This has nothing to do with you here, plus I want it. Pray for me, brother, please. This is a spiritual thing we're involved in here. We're not involved in anything natural. If it was natural, you can jump from church to church. You can jump from underwear to underwear. That's what I call religion, dirty underwear. You can jump from one week you're a Muslim, the next week you're a Buddhist, the next week you're a Hindu, the next minute you're stupid. I don't know what you're following. You can't be born again and walk away from Jesus. It's impossible. I said it's impossible. I've never seen a truly born again believer walk away from the lover of his soul. I've never seen it. I've seen Christians. I've seen a multitude of Christians go to Islam because they're getting 70 wives. I'll leave it there. Hallelujah, pervert. We don't sign contracts. Well, now I will sign on my name on the church roster and I'm now a Christian. You can be a Christian anytime you want. We don't obey laws to be a Christian. No, we become a Christian by transformation. Everybody say transformation. Our salvation is solely based on surrender and transformation. Not knowledge. If it was knowledge, then the poor can't come because they're not educated. Our salvation is not based on pedigree. It's not based on riches. It's not based on knowing the Bible. Many Christians I talk to, they don't have a clue what's in the Bible, but they love Jesus. I don't know how I got healed, but I know who healed me. I don't know how he did it. See, so you don't ever have to fear as a believer that when somebody asks you a question, you know, hey, I don't know where this is found, you get. And they want you to pontificate. They want you to display knowledge. You don't need to have knowledge. All you got to say, I don't know, but I know that I'm born again. And that settles it for me. That's enough. You don't have to know your Bible. Of course, you will know your Bible better if you come to church. Amen. Everybody say amen. Everybody say amen. I don't know why people don't like to come to church. There's so much stuff we can teach you. There's so much stuff you can learn and grow in quickly instead of you having to read all this. You know how much Bible reading I do a week? We don't get saved by works. We can't, therefore, get unsaved by works. Let me say it again for this crew over here that is in total shock and your jaws just hit the ground. We don't get saved by works. We get saved by belief. And therefore, we can't become unsaved by works. Because our born-again spirit is born again, and our behavior is catching up. So even if you mess up, you're still catching up. How many of you are a mess up? Thank you for being honest. I'm still trying to catch up to my born-again spirit that is perfectly holy and righteous. Anybody know what I'm talking about? For you to say that you are perfect, you're dead. You're a zombie, and I'm going to cast a demon out of you. There is not a Christian in this room that does not sin, because you're catching up to what you have become. You already became it. Everybody say, I'm already it. You have to get this revelation. I'm already born again. I'm already slated for heaven. I'm already living in eternity. But my behavior needs to modify, and my mind needs to be cleared up so I can catch up with what's happened to me internally. Everybody say amen. So therefore, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, even though you're a royal mess up. So even though I see you messing up, and even though you've made a lot of mistakes, and even though you still make mistakes, eventually you will be cleaned up because you are catching up with what's happened inside of you. And eventually you're going to see your lives will become cleaner, more holy in the sense that you are catching up with your behavior. Not that you need to be made more holy, because you're already holy. Everybody say, I'm already holy. But my behavior need to catch up with my position. And as you get that revelation, things will start cleaning up. This is real sonship. How many of you, when you had children, they did everything perfectly the way you would do it, right as soon as they came out of their mother's womb? Let me see your lying hands. They could be 30 years old. 30 years old. 30 years. I'm laughing at the camera guy because I know that shot's not coming out good. He's laughing. And I'm like, listen, they can be 30 years old and they're still catching up to what I am. Do you understand? We are always catching up. And in Christianity, in this thing we call being a child of God, being born again, you are constantly working out your salvation daily. What does it mean to work out your salvation? It simply means that you are working to catch up to what has already happened to you. That's all it means. That's all it means. Everybody say, that's all it means. So here is a great point that I hope I find. Here it is. You and I, we became children of God when we became born again. We did not become children of God when we joined the church. You can be part of the church and go to hell. Beep. Everybody say, ouch. You can grow up in a Christian home and your mama is born again and you're going to hell. You're going to hell because you have not been transformed. You have not been born again. The only way into heaven is to be born again. There's no other way to heaven. There is no other way to heaven. I'm so sorry. If you are not born again, you need to be born again this morning. If you're not born again, if your kids are not born again, they're going to hell. And you should be concerned about that. If you're not born again and your kids are born again, goodbye, mama. You are a new creation, a new creature in Christ. But you need to re-educate your mind about it. Everybody say, re-educate. This is what I'm doing. I'm re-educating you. You need to re-educate yourself about your disposition. The whole of the New Testament is locked up in this concept and this revelation that you must be born again. The entire New Testament is locked up in it. In fact, in our spirit, when you are born again, in your spirit, you are now an overcomer, but you don't feel that in your flesh. In your spirit, you are more than conquerors. In your spirit, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. In your spirit, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Everything that pertained to life and godliness, according to 2 Peter, is inside of you. Where? In my spirit, in my born-again spirit. You are to live from your born-again spirit, not your mind, not your imagination. In fact, it makes sense now when the apostle writes and he says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do you beat sin? How do you beat sin? Turn off the internet? No. How do you beat sin? You walk in the spirit. You learn how to live from your spirit. How do you speak with grace? You live from the spirit. How do you love your enemies? You live from your spirit. Your flesh will never love your enemies. Your flesh can't do it. No human flesh can do that. So you have to live from your spirit. Do you understand this morning? Let me go a little deeper, and I got a few minutes. What does it mean to be saved by grace? Because you're not saved by works. You are saved by grace. If we are saved by works, then we could join any religion that preaches you can do works. You can pray 5 times a day. You can bring coconut oil and milk and whatever. And then you can join any religion. But in Christianity, you can't join us. You have to become born again. Let me go again. You can join a church, but you can't join the sons of God. The sons of God are born sons of God. We are born again. You don't get to join us. You got to surrender to him to become us. If you don't surrender your life and receive him as your Lord and Savior, you can't be a child of God. You're just a Christian. Sorry. You can read the Bible. You're just a Christian. You can pray. You're just a Christian. You can fast. You're just a Christian. You can give money. You're just a Christian. You're not going to heaven unless you're born again. Oh, boy. So what does it mean to be born again? It means to be saved by grace. It means that God shows you unconditional love, whereby he freely gives you forgiveness and he redeems you. He purchases you back. Everybody say it's done freely. But it's done this way. You must surrender to it. I want to give you this Coke. But the only way you can get this Coke is you have to surrender to reach out and get it. It's serious. If you don't reach out when God is reaching out to you, you ain't getting nothing. You have to yield. Christianity is the only position whereby you, the only way you get to live in it is by surrender. The least you become, the greater you become. When you humble yourself, you'll be risen up. That's how this works. This doesn't work by pride. When I see people with pride, I laugh. Yeah, you don't get it yet. This works by humility. This works by submission, the hated, dreadful word. Submit one to another. That's how this works. Submit yourself to God. Husbands, submit yourself to your wives. What? This works by submission. This does not work by education. This does not work by contract. This only works one way and one way only. You submit and you receive what he has freely given to you from what he has freely done for you on the cross. That's how this works. Is this making sense? This is an ABC equation. It doesn't feel that way, but it is. So you are saved by grace. Everybody say, I'm saved by grace. Grace simply means a free gift of unmerited, undeserved favor. That's how you are saved. And according to the law, you were punishable. When you were unsaved, you were punishable. You deserve justice to be thrown at you because of your sins. There are consequences for your sins, such as hell and sicknesses and all these different things. But according to grace, he freely gives you forgiveness and redemption. And by submission, you become a child of God. When you are born again and become a new creation, I want to end with this point, because this is where it gets confusing. You are no longer under the law of Moses. Everybody say, I am no longer under the law of Moses. Yet many of you think you are. You still think you have to obey the Ten Commandments. And in some ways, you should, but in other ways, it doesn't do anything for you because you've already been made righteous and holy. That's me slapping you. Pop the text back up, please. Let's show it to you. When you became born again, you became righteous and holy. When you became born again, the fullness of God in Christ abides in you. So even if you obey the law of Moses, it's not going to do nothing for you except tell people that Christ lives in you. But it's not going to change your disposition, make you better or worse. You're already at your best. What? So you think because you fail at obeying the law of Moses, you need to beat yourself up. But I disagree. In Christ, you have been brought to the fullness. Moses' law didn't bring you to the fullness. Who brought you to the fullness? Jesus brought you to the fullness, not Moses. And that's the revelation that you need to get. Because you think every time you fail God, every time you mess up, that somehow you are a degree lesser. You're not. You've already have the fullness of God. Everybody say, already have it. Okay. Since I like you're here, I'm going to use you as an example. You look like a guy that likes Pepsi. I hope so. Stop it. How dare you confess that in this church? Hold a minute. What do you like, Coke or Pepsi? Pardon? You don't drink pop. Good, we take you back. Here you go, brother. Roti? Anybody have a roti in their purse? This guy knows who he is. He's like, I'm so blessed, I'm calling for roti and curry. Cheers. Listen. Go ahead, ask me for Coke. Huh? Go ahead, ask me for Coke again. You got it. Say with me, I'm already born again. So you don't need to become holy anymore. You're already holy. You already got it. Everybody already got it. Everybody say, I already have it. Where is it? It's inside of you. Thank you for my Pepsi. You already have it. You're asking for things and you're working for things that you already have. And since you already are holy, and your body and your brain is trying to catch up, you're behaving stupid. Because you're asking God to make you holy, but he already made you holy. And the only reason you don't know that is because you don't read your Bible. You watch YouTube. And that's why you're so dense in your understanding. Because you spend more time on the tube than in the book. And you're lacking. You're lacking. We renew our minds by the washing of the word. That's what you got to do. You got to read the Bible. How did I learn this? I learned this from reading the Bible. That I am not working anymore to be holy. I am holy. You just don't see it yet. I'm not working to be perfect. I am perfect. I just don't behave like it yet. But don't worry. I'm catching up with what's already happened inside of me. Are you listening? So don't beat yourself up. Everybody say, don't beat yourself up. Even if you fail to follow a law, no problem. Try again. Even if you mess up, get up again. Let's keep going. Nudge your neighbor and say, let's keep going. Okay, good. Let me go to one more text here, and I'm going to bring this to an end in like 5 minutes. Let me just wrap this up with this text. So I want to show you this following Moses business thingamajiggy. Romans 7, 4 to 6. And if you're reading your Bible, I encourage you to read the New Testament. Get to know the New Testament, because that's where your faith is hung upon. The New Testament, the gospel, the teachings of Paul about Christ. Get to know. Don't go with the Old Testament as law. Everybody say Old Testament law. You don't need law. You need grace. You need to understand what's happening inside of you. All of a sudden, you got superpowers, and you don't know how to use it. I don't know if any of you know this show, but one of my favorites, Brandon, one of my favorite shows. Funniest show on the planet. No, not The Flash. I know you know I like The Flash. The Greatest American Hero. Bro, that's the funniest show on the planet. This guy gets this alien suit from a spaceship, and he's trying to figure out how to use it. My wife will tell you, it's one of my favorite old-time shows. The Greatest American Hero. Curly hair fellow. Anyways, you guys pull it up. It's kind of cool. Ralphie. Yeah. It's hilarious. I mean, it was done in the 80s and stuff, but it was cool. Romans 7. You have the superpower. You have this amazing superpower. But you are in the process of learning how to use it. And that's why you come to church. So I can teach you how to use it. That's why you're here with me and I'm with you. We're going to learn how to use a superpower. Look at it. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ. What? So that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. Verse 5. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passion aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. Look at this now, verse 6. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the newness or the new life of the what? See? Did you see it? Paul writes it in Romans, and he says, you're not under the law because you're now living from the Spirit. You're born again spirit. You're not under Moses' law. See you later, Moses. You should take a ride up the Nile and don't come back. Listen. This is amazing stuff. This is amazing stuff. I hope you get it this morning. Amazing stuff. You are not under Moses. You are born again in your spirit. You have 100% God. The fullness of God was in Christ, and the fullness of Christ is in you. This crazy revelation, if you can grasp it, so that you don't have to struggle with your failures anymore. You just keep going with your victories. How many of you here struggle with your failures? I used to until I got this revelation, and I realized that my failure doesn't do much damage to me. You know, it's kind of not like driving a fancy car and you're afraid to get it dinged when you park at Walmart because the guy doesn't care how he rolls his cart. Not like that happened to me, but it did happen to me. You're so afraid of failing God that you don't know you can't fail God anymore. That's my point. You're so afraid of failing God. Why are you afraid of failing God? And because you're afraid of failing God, you think that God is out to get you. He can't. He already got you, and he changed you. Everybody say, he already got me. And guess what? He didn't punish me. He transformed me. He didn't punish you. So you don't need to be afraid of God. You don't need to have a fear of God. What are you doing? There is no reason in your mortal body for you to be afraid of God, because you cannot become punishable anymore. You are born again. You are unpunishable. If any man be in Christ, I repeat it, Romans 8:1, they are a new creation. Any man, I mean, that's not Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're a new creation. You don't understand. This is why I don't teach religion. This is why I don't get involved in religion. Because religion tells you have to keep working for it. Being a child of God means God did all the work and he gave it to you freely. You're already, everybody say, I already got it. Somebody say, it's inside of me. Beat your chest. Beat your chest. Don't cough. Beat your chest. It's inside of me. So here's what he writes. Greater is he. Now you're understanding the gospel. Than he that is in the world. How is it possible that greater is he that's inside? Because you are born again and God occupies you. Why are you whining? Why are you crying? Why are you so afraid of failure? You really can't fail because God can't fail. Everybody say, I've been released from punishment. So you don't have a reason to fear God. The only reason you would want to fear God is if he had a legal right to punish you. But he took you from the law, according to Romans 7. So there is no more legal rights for him to punish you. So why are you afraid? I'm not afraid of God's punishment because God doesn't have a legal right. When he converted me, when he transformed me, he removed the law from me. That's the key. The law is what gives the devil and God legal rights over you. There are no longer legal rights. There's now relationship rights. Your ex-wife doesn't have legal rights. I'll leave it there. Let me just give you a small illustration, and then I'm going to close. Because I got to get you to get this. Think of yourself as a caterpillar. Now, if you're thinking of yourself as a caterpillar, as I just suggested, you would understand that caterpillars are walking on branches after branches, eating leaves after leaves. In fact, if a caterpillar falls off that branch, it will bounce. It will do what? It'll bounce. Because it is subject to the law of gravity. What is it subject to? Good. So as long as you remain unsaved, you are subject to the law of Moses. I want to show the parallel. Like the caterpillar, you are subject to the law of gravity. But when transformation happens, when metamorphosis happens to that caterpillar, the law changes. What happens? The law changes. That's what happened to us. When we were sinners, we were subject to the law of Moses. When we became born again, the law changes. The law of the caterpillar now changes because the caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Everybody say a new creation. You can't even recognize a caterpillar in a butterfly. Watch me. The law changes for that caterpillar when it becomes a butterfly. The law changes for you when you become a child of God. The new law is called the law of aerodynamics. The new law is called the law of grace. Do you understand this morning? When you became born again, you are no longer operating from Moses' law like a caterpillar. You are now born again. You are operating by the law of aerodynamics like a butterfly. When you fall, you will float. Did you see it? And that is the revelation that I need you to get this morning. You are unpunishable by the law of gravity. You are unpunishable by the law of Moses. Because when you fall, you don't have to bounce anymore. You will float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. That's for my boxing fans. So this morning, you are unpunishable. And all you got to do is renew your mind. Subject your body to following God's way. And you're going to catch up to what's already inside of you. Everybody say, I'm born again. Would you stand with me all over this house, please? Did you get something out of that this morning? Come on, did you get something out of that this morning? I want to ask a sobering question to you this morning. Are you born again? And if you're not, I plead with you, you must be born again. Because if you do not get born again, you are punishable under the law of Moses. And the wages of sin is death. You will die and you will perish and you will go to hell. You can be a Christian and go to hell, but you can't be born again and go to hell. You are unpunishable because you have been removed from the law of Moses. And therefore, you have nothing to fear. So I ask you this morning, do you want to give your life to the Lord? Is there anybody that was here this morning? Maybe you're online and I can't see you. But right where you are, you can say, Father, I receive Jesus as my Savior and I surrender my will to His. Invite Him into your life. Lord, come into my heart. Be my Savior. I surrender. And by faith this morning, a metamorphosis is going to happen, a transformation, and you will move from a caterpillar to a butterfly, in the spirit, of course. And if you're here in the house this morning, and you would like to give your life to the Lord, can I see your hands? If you're here, is there anybody here this morning? Say, Pastor, I want to give my life to the Lord. Thank you, young lady. Is there anybody else this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else this morning? If you've given your life to the Lord, you don't have to do it again. But if you haven't, if you've done it one time, it's enough. Everybody say once is enough. This is not religion, folks. You don't need to be transformed every week, please. I'm telling you. You are not the Autobots. Right? Anybody else? Is there anybody else here that says, Pastor, I want to be born again. I want to have this transformation. I want to become a child of God. I don't just want to be a Christian anymore. I want to be a child of God. I want to go to heaven. I want to have the blessings of God. I want to have access to the kingdom of God this morning. Are you here? Can I see your hands again if you're here? Would you put your hands up if that's you? Thank you. I wonder this morning if that young lady that lifted her hands, if you wanted to come forward. If you don't want to, it's okay. Somebody will come with you. Mind you, it's okay. Thank you. We don't mind. We love you. And I know you love God. And it's okay. It's okay. Did you know that Jesus went boldly to a cross publicly for you and died? And it's okay to stand publicly for Jesus. Is that all right? Is that all right if I say that? It's okay to stand for Jesus publicly. He loves you so much. Mind you, why don't you pray for her right there this morning? Thank you. For those of you watching me online, it's very simple. You don't have to bow your head. This is not religion. This is faith. Everybody say, this is faith. Would you repeat after me? Heavenly Father, I come to you today because I need your grace. I surrender my life to you, Father. I ask you that you come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Amen. Amen. If you genuinely meant that, you have moved from the status of Christian, ordinary, atheist, Hindu, Muslim, religious, to now a child of God. By faith, something tremendous would have taken place. How will we know? Eventually, you will start bearing some fruits, and we will tell what has happened in your heart. One of the fruits that we will see is that you're going to develop a need to know more of the Word of God, because your born again spirit is hungry for the Word of God, and you're going to have a hunger for God's Word. You're going to have a desire to worship Him. You're going to have a desire for fellowship, and we'll see that, and soon we'll see you here.